So you want to take a look at today's Chabura, the pair of sugyas that we've been working on last week and this week, and they in many ways come together, two sides of a coin. I want to take a look at the role that numbers of people play in Yichud. We had begun, very beginning of Hilchos Yichud, looking at the Mishnah in the opening Gemara, and we saw that the Yichud, one-on-one Yichud, Beseser, is Doraisa, is an Issa D'Oraisa according to either all or almost all Rishonim. Machlokas, what's the position of the Rambam? I spent some time on that, but according to most, if not all Rishonim, so Yichud Beseser, one-on-one Yichud, that's an Issa D'Oraisa, but the Pesach Tshuva quote from a number of Achronim, once it's, and the Rashba said in the Tshuva, once it's more than two people in the room, so three is a crowd. Three is a crowd, so once you have more than two people present, it's not going to be Issa Yichud D'Oraisa. It may, however, be an Issa Yichud D'Rabbanan. And that's what the Mishnah leads us right into, the opening Mishnah, Payment Days. The Mishnah differentiates between Shtei Anashim and Shnei Anashim and Shtei Nashim. The Mishnah presents that two men and a woman is Mutter, Yichud with Shnei Anashim Heter Gamer, while Yichud with Shtei Nashim, one man with two women, is an Isser D'Rabbanan. That's an Isser, again, that's Yisrael Kengor, Asser, but Asser Midrabbanan. Another way just of thinking about that is to think about who are you adding to the situation. In other words, Reuven and Leah are alone, that's an Issa Yichud, and potentially an Issa Yichud D'Oraisa. If I add to Reuven and Leah, if I add Rachel, so now that I drop it down to an Issa Yichud D'Rabbanan. Rachel's presence, Reuven has no Issa Yichud D'Oraisa with Leah because of Rachel's presence, he has no Issa Yichud D'Oraisa with Rachel because of Leah's presence, but the presence of a second woman doesn't mitigate the Isser entirely. It drops it down to Rabbanan, but Lamasa, it's still Usser. But the presence of a second man, if you had Reuven and Leah, then you add Shimon, so now it's Heter Gamer. Heter Gamer, because Reuven's presence, Shimon's presence, gets rid of the Isser Yichud between Reuven and Leah, and obviously Reuven's presence offset any Isser Yichud between Shimon and Leah. So the presence of a second man, he serves as a shomer to eliminate the Isser of Yichud. So that's the way the Mishnah presents it. So we want to spend some time talking about Shnei Anashim and then spend some time talking about Shtei Nashim. So in terms of Shnei Anashim, as you saw, the Gemara says not so fast. The Gemara has several limitations on the heter of Shnei Anashim. The Gemara has over the course of the bottom of Pe'alim Beis and then the top of Pe'alif Amin Aleph two caveats. Caveat number one is that Shnei Anashim is only Mutter if they're Ksherim, but if they're Prutzim, so then all bets are off. The Gemara tells the story, the whole slew of men, but they're all Prutzim, and they were Mazana, they were not. Again, going back to the core logic that Rashi had presented, that the we talked before, the presence of an additional person inhibits the situation. The presence of an additional person makes the two people uncomfortable. And if they feel inhibited, they're not going to proceed to an act of Gila Rayos. So that's only true if the person that you're adding is an Ish Kasher. But the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef apparently had never witnessed a group sin, but he said, I can deduce that it must happen. He says, look, every once in a while, there's a big piece of lumber, and overnight it disappears. Where did it go? Obviously, it got stolen. Well, how did it get stolen? It's way too heavy for one person to steal. So obviously, it must be, I can infer, it must be the whole group of people stole it as a team. So Zetman, if they're all in it together, they're not Bosh Echad Mechaveru. So the same is true here. Anashim Prutzim are do not Ish Paratz, or even many Anashim Prutzim do not serve as a Shomer for Yichud. So that's the first limitation on the Kula of Shnei, the Matir of Shnei Anashim. And then the second limitation on the Matir of Shnei Anashim is on Pe'al Flamed Aleph. That's not total, it just limits it somewhat. The Gemara says the difference between Ba'ir and Baderach. The Gemara says, as you saw, the fact they say adding one man will entirely eliminate the Isser Yichud, that one man, one, and now we know one Ish Kasher, serves as a shomer, that's only true if you're ba'ir, but not if you're baderach. If you're on the road, so then we're worried, look, you're away from civilization. Away from civilization, you have two men and a woman are hiking somewhere. So if one of the men needs to relieve himself, needs to use the bathroom, so he's going to have to, for privacy, he's going to hike several minutes off to the side, away from the trail, to get some privacy, and then it's going to, a few minutes there, and then a few minutes to come back. And then meanwhile, he's leaving the other man alone with the woman. So you create a yichud situation. So that's what the Gemara says. If you're baderech, so it's not enough to have two men and a woman, you have to have three men and a woman. So that way, even if one, not more than one, will leave at a time. In other words, baderech, you need two shomrim. You need two men. It's not sufficient. As you have Reuven and Leah, the problem. So ba'ir, just add Shimon. But baderech, you have to add Shimon and Levi. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and Rachel, that's mutter baderech, because Shimon and Levi together, those shnei anash, additional shnei anash, for a total of shlosha, will serve as a shomer. Right? Again, Shimon and Levi are shomer Reuven and Leah, and Reuven and Levi are shomer Shimon and Leah, so forth. Okay. So by prutzim, so prutzim is a total exception. Prutzim do not count as a ish kasher shnei anashim at all. And by derech you require a total of shlosha anashim rather than shnei anashim. In other words, two men serve as a shomer instead of one additional man. So that's the Gemara. Then the Gemara tells a story, and the story is actually perhaps very relevant lahalacha in more than one way. Because there are two kashas you can ask in the story, two halachic points can potentially be raised from the story. So what's the story? So Gemara tells, pay off and off. You saw a Rav and Yehuda are traveling. They're hiking somewhere on a trail, walking on some trail, intercity, and they come across and like they're walking quickly. So they begin to overtake. They see up ahead there's a woman up ahead, walking more slowly, and now that they're walking quickly, so now they're within eyesight, and they're going to get closer and closer. So Rav says to Yehuda, "Dal karach mekam agehenim. We got to move quickly. We got to get out of here as quickly as possible. If we hang around, if we don't quickly overtake her and then walk beyond her, it's going to be a yichud problem. So then Rabbi Huda says to Rav, "I don't understand you. You're the one who told me the din of Shnei Anashim Ksherim. The truth is, the Mishnah says din of Shnei Anashim. Rav would say you have to be Ksherim. It says, but we're Ksherim. We're Ksherim. So what does Rav reply? So Rav replies, we're not Ksherim. Ksherim are like we're beginning about Papi. You go around 40 blot earlier in the Masechta from Payal back to the end of the first parak. Men or so the Gemara tells stories. Rechini Bar Papi was someone who had been willing to risk his life to avoid falling into a situation of Gila Rites. Gila Rites Yehar by Yavar. Rechanina had been put to this test, miraculously saved, but he had been ready to fulfill the din of Yehar by Yavar in the area of Gila Rites. So Rav says that's called a kasher. If you've been tested in fire, then you're a kasher. But you and I, Rav says, we're not kasher. Adkan the story. So there are two or three points that leap to the eye. One has to do with the first din in our Gemara, kasher and prutzim. The second one has to do with the second din in our Gemara, baderech. The third one is a general observation about the range of yichud. So the first issue is, as you saw, Rishonim raise, is this really true? So most Rishonim, the Ramban and the Tosfos Ve'Hazaken on the side, and the Ran, and many Rishonim say this is not, or what Rav said is not the halacha l'maisa. That's not an ikar din. Rav is not a kasher. Rav is not a kasher. The only kasher is someone who's actually been tested. Yehar Val Yavar. It's hard to imagine. That's a kasher. And they're rising the Gemara and Brachas and elsewhere. It seems like kasher means kasher. Someone who is careful in Yichud. Someone who's careful about Negiah. Someone who's careful doesn't fall into post-kim debate exactly where you draw the line. How kosher is kosher, but a decent person, is basically religious, and particularly in this area, the area of Gidrei Tznius. So that's the approach of Rav Rishonim, Rabban, the Tosfos Rezakin in the margin. That seems to be the position of the Rif as well. The Rif, it seems to be his position, because if you look in the Rif, he leaves out the story. He mentions Kshayrim, verse Prutzim, he mentions about that. But then he leaves out the story. So it sounds like that means that the story is not relevant to Halacha. But of course, as you saw, you look at it, and that's what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, hey, he says, yeah, Shnei Anashim Kshayrim, no Isra Yichud. But as you saw, the Mechaber follows the Rambam, who, you know, Kidarko, we've seen in the past, you know, the Rambam is a massive chiddush from our perspective in the sugya. But the genre of his sefer, he wasn't writing a sefer chiddushim al shas, he was writing a sefer halacha. So very often that impacts how to read and how to be sensitive. And he does not make a comment on Daf Peyal, here's how I read the story, the way the Ramban does, the Tosri HaZaken, the Rambam, because they were all commenting on the Gemara. The Rambam just quotes the Gemaras which he feels are lahalacha, and leaves out those which he feels are not lahalacha, and he will quote them the way he thinks they are lahalacha. The Rambam is incredibly subtle. The Rambam does, as you saw, the Rambam just leaves out the din entirely. He does not quote. Look at Mishnah Torah, he just never mentioned the din of Shnei Anashim Kshayrim. Shnei Anashim. It's not there. You look, it's not there. Where'd it go? It's in Mishnah. Where'd it go? The majority of Rishonim, the Smag, the Tur, the Ra, the Magad Mishnah, understand, and that's the impression you get as well from the Pirush Mishnah, Rama's Pirush Mishnah is that he left it out, he left it in the Din of Shnei Anashim because of our story. Because the Mishnah Melech does not read it this way, but almost everyone, except for Mishnah Melech, understands that Rambam held that the story is Kipshuto. That we should take the story Kipshuto face value. So take the story face value, Sataka, no one's a Kasha. No one's a Kasha. One in a million is going to be a Kasha. We're hearing about Papi. Kamat never, ever, ever happens. So essentially, the Rambam says, look, no one's a Kasha. So if you take that story of Rab face value, so the Mishnah doesn't apply. The Mishnah applies to one person out of a million, so the Rambam doesn't quote it. So that's why the Rambam says many men with one woman is asa, unless there's some other reason why it should be mutter. Unless it's a ishto imo. If that woman's husband is there, so then she has no issur yichud with her husband. And if there's another woman there, he has no issur yichud with another woman because ishto imo. But barring that, a whole slew of men with one woman, Rambam says, Aser. Why? Well, that's exactly Peyam and Beis. That 10 Anashim Prutzim with a woman is no Heter Yichon. The Rambam understood that we are all Prutzim because the bar to be a Kasher is super, super, super high. Super, super high. That's the approach of the Rambam, and it should be noted that's the way Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it. Shulchan Aruch says, hey, quotes that Rambam verbatim. The Shulchan Aruch also never mentions the din of Shnei Anashim Kshayrim. The Rambam mentions it. The only solution, again, the solution is either from the Rambam is either ishto imo or bail bi. You'll have to work out some new heter, or if it's by numbers alone, the Rambam says, and this is quoted by Shulchan Aruch and Sivav, that many men with one woman is aser, but many men with many women, that is mutter. Nashim harbi, ima nashim harbi, the beginning of Sivav, ein choshen liyuchud. Once you have many and many, that already is mutter. Even though we're all prutzim, so that's what the Nosei Kalim explain, because if you have anashim rabim, the nashim rabos, that's called rishos harabim. That's just public, that's not yichud. It's a public place. It's not an active yichud. There's nothing private about it. So, look, if you're in a place with many anashim prutzim and many nashim prutzos, you might say, this is not a good place for me to be. Perhaps it's davar mechur, perhaps it's inappropriate and I should get out anyhow. But yichud, it's not. Yichud means to be in a private location. That's what Rambam says. Once you're, and we'll get to that notion more when we get to the sugya of Pesach Pasuach, defining what's considered to be public. That's in Siftes, Gemara and Pe'al from Alf, and so in the Turin Shulchan Aruch and Siftes. For Pesach Pasuach is really where we're going to begin to define Rishus HaRab. But just to put things into perspective, the Rambam says many men with one woman, everyone's a parutz, and therefore the whole din of Shnei Anashim is off the books. Okay. It's not clear to me whether there are Sephardi poskim who actually follow. Again, it's Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like it should be the approach of Sephardim. It's not clear to me that Sephardim actually do follow this halacha. It's an incredible chumrah, practically. Just like the other major chumrah we saw, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, in terms of achoso. Both issues. It's not clear to me whether Sephardim or from which areas, which Sephardim actually follow this. But it's clear that the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. Ashkenazim, it's a Rov Rishonim. And again, just it's worth noting, Rov Rishonim hold like the Ramah. Ramah's called Rov Rishonim, including Rov Sephardi Rishonim. You know, the Ramban and the Ritva and so on and so forth. It's an overwhelming majority. Iran. So Ashkenazim certainly are Mekel, Shnei Anashim, a simple reading of the Mishnah. And we assume that, again, that Rav was how you understand, so why did Rav say we're Pritzim? That's what we're trying to explain. Rav, that actually was Rav's Chumrah. We know, Rabbi Shechter likes to quote from time to time, there's a work from the Gaon and Esrim lead the Chassidus to Rav. 10 Midas Chassidus of Rav. You see, they collect throughout the Gaon. The Rav had many Midas Chassidus. Rav was an incredible Machmer. Even at the end of his life, he talks about how he was an incredible Machmer. So this is, according to Rav Rishonim, and according to Pesach Ramah, yet another Chumrah of Rav. Ironically, the Chumrah was to consider himself a Mekel. His Chumrah was to consider himself a Paritz. That was a Chumrah, a Mekel Adin. Stam Anashim Shem. But again, as we were saying before, even if you're going to follow the Ramah, the Rav Rishonim, there are limitations. There are limitations. No one, a true Paritz is not a valid Shomer for Yichud. That's number one. And number two, he said, Baderech. So Baderech brings us back to the story. Right? The Gemara said, look, Baderech, you need to have an extra person. Shnei Anashim v'Isha Achas is also Baderech, but Shlosha Anashim v'Isha Achas is Mutter. So, as mentioned before, that story of Rav Yehuda on the road, so there are several points to be made. The first point was about Prutzen. Again, do you read the story literally? That's the Mikra Den, or do you read the story as being Rav's Chumrah? But then the second point is what they didn't say. So what's strange about the Shach V'Tariya is they should have said, Rav says we have a problem. So what is Rav Yehuda respond? What do you mean, Shnei Anashim K'sheirim? You're the one who told me Shnei Anashim K'sheirim. And Rav's answer is, yeah, but we're Prutzen. Akasha and Yehuda and Akasha and Rav. The same Kasha. He should have mentioned, we had the other din that we just learned, Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, was what? It was Baderech, you need three. So, Me'ekara Ma'kasar, Lasof Ma'kasar. Why did Rav Yehuda think that it should be Mutter? Yes, there are two people, but it's Baderech. And why didn't Rav respond that? They are the Balei member, it was Rav Yehuda or Rav, who said that Baderech needed three. So the whole Shach V'Tariya, the whole Baderech is missing. Baderech is missing. It's a problem. It's a problem. So there are at least three answers to this kasha. They may have relevance to halacha. So one answer is the Rif. I mentioned before the Rif leaves out the story of Rav Yehuda and Rav on the road. He also leaves out the din of Baderech. Look in the Rif, it doesn't appear. He only mentions the din of Prutzim. So I'm not sure what to do with that, but that may imply that Rav, that the Rif held that the din of Baderech is not true lehalacha. That's the simplest understanding of why it's left out. And why would that be? Perhaps the Rif understood that's the point of the story. That originally, earlier on, Rav had such a chiddush that the Baderech needed three, but clearly you see from the story, Maisa Rav, in both senses, is a story of Rav, and Maisa Rav, the story wins. In three senses, Maisa Rav with a lowercase r, the rabbi, and then Maisa Rav, the Amora named Rav, and Maisa Rav, the Maisa wins. That seems to be what the Rif holds. That clearly Rav must have changed his mind, Bizik Nuso, because look, you see from the whole Shach V'Tariya that Baderech was no longer part of the discussion. So that may be what what the Rif held, that the whole Din Vaderech is rejected. Okay, that's one solution. So that solution is on one extreme, saying you never need three. Right? No, the whole Din is rejected. Then you have the Marsha in the back of the Gemara, answers the other extreme. He says, no, you always need three. What's going on in this story? He says, it must be there was a third person. We just told you the Din of Shlosha. Right? And then we tell you the story. And no one's saying, hey, they're only Vaderech. So Marsha says, it must be there was a third person. Why isn't he mentioned? Because there was Rav Yehuda, and there were Rav, Gedolei Amorim, and then there was another fellow. It must have been a fine Jew, but he wasn't in the league of Yehuda and Rav. He wasn't going to be mentioned. He didn't. The point of the story is to tell us about the Shock of Attire between Yehuda and Rav. They were having the Shock of Attire. That's part of the record of Gemara. This third fellow was not an Amora, so he doesn't mention making the story. Okay. And then, in the middle, you have a third answer. The middle answer is that of Rabbeinu Yerucham, who was quoted by Rabbeinu Yerucham, was I believe a contemporary of the Rush. Also, I think a mix of Ashkenazi and Sephardi Masoros. He's the one we've seen before. He often gets quoted as Reish Yud Vav. I'm not sure why Reish Yud Vav is supposed to Reish Yud Reish, but that's the convention, Rabbeinu Yerucham. The name of his sefer is Toldos Adam V'Chava, but you'll usually just see Rabbeinu Yerucham. So Rabbeinu Yerucham is quoted by the Darkei Moshe as saying, well, sometimes you need three and sometimes you don't. Not like the rift of the din is entirely rejected, but it's limited. How is it limited? So he says, it depends. He says the whole logic of requiring three was what? Was what? If Shem Yitzhara Echman and Lenukava, one will need to walk a few minutes to the side to relieve himself, and the other one's going to stay there. Then Yerucham says, why are you staying there? If you're careful, so they should both leave. Both men should leave. So the answer is, Yerucham says, no, you can't do that. You can't leave her alone. If you're taking achrayas for her, if this woman said, I'm not comfortable, you know, traveling intercity by myself, do you mind if I join your group? They said, sure. So they're supposed to be taking care of her. So they can't just leave her alone. So Rabbeinu Yerucham says, the whole din Vaderech is only Vaderech, and they are Achroah, and they have took Achroahs for her. So then you have to have three people so you can maintain a staff of two men together with her, even if the third one has to leave. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, but that wasn't relevant here. In this story, there was no connection. Right? Rav Yehuda, they're walking. They weren't a group. They just happened to overtake her. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, what Sheikh is? That's not Vaderech. They could both leave. As a matter of fact, they did both leave. That's exactly what Rav says, Yehuda, let's both get out of here together. So even if one would have had to go at the start of the Kavav, they would both leave. So that's the answer of Ben Yerucham. That is quote the Darkei Moshe, quote the Chacham Hazanu, quote the Beis Shmuel. The answer of contest sounds like he's not so sure that one can make a like Ben Yerucham. Again, the din of Baderech doesn't really have as much relevance for us. It comes up occasionally. But again, you're talking about a case where not only you're out on the road, but you're away from civilization. As if you're a place where you're on the road, but there are rest stops. So then not necessarily going to be the reality of Baderech that Chazal we're talking about. In Shem Yitzhara Echlin the Kavav, you're going to have to head a few minutes away. But again, if you're in the wilderness, so this comes up. The way, again, but Baderech per se doesn't come up that much for us. What does come up is the extension of the din of Baderech, which the Ravid develops. And that is, which is Rama quotes, and that is very, very relevant. That happens every single day, or I should say every single night. Because the Ravid, the post-com quote from the Ravid, that nighttime is the same as Derech. The Ravid is in the Sefer Baalei HaNefesh, which is his Sefer, predominantly Hilchos Nida and Mikvos. At the end, he has the Shara Kedusha, where he discusses the halachas of positive halachas of intimacy between husband and wife, and gives some hashkafa on that as well. Over the course of Baalei HaNefesh, so he at times also talks about Yichud, specifically in the Sugya of Chuppas Nida. So the post can quote that the Ravid there mentions that at night you also need three. By lightly you need three. Why? He says the same Svara. Just like your wife, you only have two. So you worry two men. If one leaves the other man alone with this woman, that's what you need three. He says, how about Laila? If it's already, it has nothing to do with Tzitzak Kochav, it doesn't have to do with Halachic night. When it's late enough that people are falling asleep, since says you're going to have just two men and women, what if one dozes off? And you're leaving the other one alone with her. So that's a problem. So it says, Balayla is the same as Baderach. So Shema Yishan Echemehem. So that's what he says. You have to have three men and a woman is mutter. Balayla, just as the Gemara says, three men and a woman is mutter. Baderach. Now, what's interesting, if you look in the Ravid, he says, not only, it's a chumra, but also a kula. He says, not only is it true that when all three are awake, all everyone's awake, but they might fall asleep. And it's already late enough that people would be going to bed. People may doze off. You need three. He also says, but three is sufficient, not only when one of them might fall asleep, even if they all are sleeping. Even when they all are sleeping. That's a simple reading of the Ravid. On the page of Shulchan Aruch, the Ezer Mikodesh on the bottom quotes him a hoax about that, but the Dvar Halacha, the modern classics, that he assumes the Halacha, again, it's a simple reading of the Ravid, that even Balayla, even Mamish, everyone is asleep, three men and a woman work. What does that mean? So the idea is, even when they are sleeping, so there's Reuven, Shimon, and Leah alone, everyone's sleeping. So if Reuven wakes up and he sees that Shimon is sleeping, so Shimon's presence is not so inhibiting if he's asleep. If he was awake and watching and aware of what's going on, so his presence is inhibiting. If Shimon's sleeping, not so inhibiting. But if Reuven wakes up and Shimon and Levi are there, as well as Leah, so look, Shimon's sleeping, so he's not aware. Levi's sleeping, so he's not aware. But either one might wake up. So the fact that one person might wake up, that's not sufficiently inhibiting. If they have two sleeping children, that already, the chance that Shimon would wake up, plus the chance Levi would wake up, together, that's already enough uncertainty that's going to inhibit Reuven, and that solves the problem of Yichud. So Rabbi Shechter's Nusach is that a sleeping shomer is half a shomer. Each sleeping shomer is half a shomer. And then you add one, again, Shea Anasha, as we said before, Shea Anasha really means one shomer. Right? Reuven Leah plus Shimon. Shimon is the shomer for Reuven Leah. And again, Reuven is the shomer for Shimon Leah. Shimon is the shomer for Reuven Leah. So if Shimon's awake, Shimon works. Or Shimon and Levi both sleeping, also. A sleeping shomer is half a shomer. He's not aware, but he could be. He may wake up. So the combination of he may wake up, that's already sufficient. Or if you have a sleeping couple, you have a couple that's asleep, come home at the end of the date, you can bring the girl back, you want to continue to schmooze in the living room. So if the family's awake, so then you're fine. Yeah, no Yichud problem. But let's say, her mother and father went to bed. So if she has a father and a mother both at home, so both of them are shomrim for Yichud, right? The wife, the mother's husband is right there, so both are valid shomrim for Yichud, but they're sleeping. But if you have two of them, so then two sleeping shomrim are the equivalent to one awake shomer, assuming, and this is a critical point, assuming that they know if they were to wake up, they should come on down and wave hello in the living room. If they're just going to wake up and go right back to bed, their presence, like they're sleeping upstairs, doesn't really solve anything. We'll talk about that more, as we get into those aspects of Hilchos Yichud. But assuming that they know that you actually want them, in case you wake up, please poke your head down the steps and say hi, then there's always a chance that maybe mom will wake up, maybe dad will wake up, and make their presence known. So then that could solve a Yichud problem. So that's the discussion of Shnei Anashim. That's a discussion of Shnei Anashim. Now how about Shtei Nashim? So Shtei Nashim, we said, Mishnah says it's also, again, not Min HaTorah, but Midrabanan. Shtei Nashim is also. Now the question is, are there limits on that? And that discussion actually begins with the next Mishnah, the second Mishnah on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Mysterious line. Kol Shasakev Manashim, the Mishnah says, Lo Yisachim Manashim. Anyone who works with women, a man who's in a line of work where his clients are predominantly women, should not have yichud with women. So if he sells women's clothing, or something along those lines. He's in some line of work where its client base is predominantly women. Lo yisachir manashim. He says, you saw the Rishonim all wonder, well, what does that mean? But no one should have yichud with women. No. Or just because it's work? The Mishnah said you shouldn't have yichud. So what? The Mishnah said you can't have yichud. A man can't have yichud with two women. That's Mishnah pay of the base. So what we say now? It's only if you only if you work with women that you can't have yichud with women. But if you don't, so I work with men. So then I'm allowed to have yichud with women. Well, what does the Mishnah mean? So there's a, as you saw, there's a number of different approaches. Most of the approaches in Rishonim are variations on a theme. Most of the Teirutzim in Rishonim to this question there's another such kasha. Not only is there a kasha from the Mishnah Pei Beis, why are you saying all of a sudden this particular case is this or Yichud? There's always an Isra Yichud. And you also saw a parallel question, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Right, so the Mishnah in Chaf Beis in Avodah Zarah and the Gemara in Chaf Hei, right, you can't have Yichud with a Nachri. And a Jewish woman shouldn't have Yichud with a Nachri. The Gemara says, well, a Jewish woman shouldn't have Yichud with a Jewish man either. Can't have yichud with a man, period. Doesn't matter whether he's Jewish or not Jewish. Right? So there the Gemara had said, no, there's an added chumrah. It's true a woman can't have yichud with a Jewish man either. With a non-Jewish man, there's an added chumrah. Right? Ishto imo doesn't help, and so forth. So how about here? So most Rishonim take a similar approach here. That there's some, of course, so no man is allowed to have yichud with women, but here there's some sort of added chumrah. What's the added chumrah? So the Ramban, quoted by the Ritva, but not otherwise quoted in Poskim, and the Ramban says it's that this fellow who's asakav in Hanashim, you've seen the Poskim often will nickname that Rochel, a peddler, because that's the peddlers typically were selling to women. So they become sort of the paradigm of asakav Hanashim. The Ramban says Rochel is a parrot. That's the point of our Mishnah. Meaning that there's no din, the kula of shnei anashim does not apply because he's automatically a paros. That's Ramban's approach, not really quoted in Poskim. Tosfos says ishto imo doesn't apply to rochel. The rochel, the asak anashim, is not allowed to be to have yichud with the women, his client base, even if his wife is there. Because it's libo gaspa. He's so comfortable with them, his wife's presence is not going to solve the problem. In other words, Tosus says, I have another... right? We have a kula that we know of. It doesn't apply. Abban says the kula of Shnei Anashim doesn't apply to Rochel. Tosus says the kula of Ishto Imo doesn't apply to Rochel. Rashi says... sort of similar, but he ends up giving us a chiddush l'kula. Rashi says the kula of three women doesn't apply by Rochel. In other words, Rashi says normally the Mishnah only said in Pei Amidez that you can't have yichud with two women, mashma, but with more than two women will be mutter. So Rashi says but that kula of more than two women of shalosh nashim that doesn't apply by the Rochel. So again, Rashi is structured similar to Tosas the Ramban. There's a kula that doesn't apply to Rochel, but his chiddush was la kula. The other two, Tosas the Ramban, we already knew about the kula, and their chiddush was the pre-existing kula doesn't apply to the Rochel. For Rashi, we never heard of this kula before. Shalosh Nashim, really? So Ramah Taka quotes, Yesh Omrim, that Shalosh Nashim. His mutter, the machlok, because I posted him how to do that yesh omrim. Shecht, I think, has said in Shiurim, he thought, generally we do not rely on the kula of shalosh nashim. If there's a situation, makom tzarech comes up, that it's worth making a sheil chacham, especially if there's more than three women. And this, the svara also for Rashi's kula, shalosh nashim is mutter, as you saw, footnote 528 in the Ritva, suggests it may be a Rashi Lishitaso, because there's Machlokas Rashi and Ritva on the Mishnah on Pei, and Pei and Beis. What's the concern that's driving the Isser of Shtei Nashim? And the Gemara says, you know, because Nashim Daitim Kalos. But there's more concern they may come to Znus. The present second woman won't be sufficiently inhibiting. Why? So the Ritva just says the woman is comfortable assuming that the other woman will likely cover for her and won't spill the beans. But Rashi says it's not just the other woman will cover for her, it's she'll cover for her because she'll probably be a participant as well. Shtehen nochos lehis patos. Rashi had added that step. So that's what the footnotes in the Ritva point out. That's why Rashi says shtehen nochos lehis patos, may two, but not three or four or five. So Rashi, who bases the whole chumrah drabbanon of shtei nashim on nochos lehis patos, so that's why he says it's only by shtei nashim. Whereas the Ritva, if you take the Ritva's approach, it's just, you know, the women perhaps are more likely to cover for each other. So then you understand more why one might say even three or four women could still be an Isser Yichud. They're not all going to be participants in the Chet, but they might all be willing to maintain a bond of silence. And then let's just sort of fill out this piece of the discussion, and then we'll stop for a question. These three approaches, Rashi, Tosis, Ramban, these three terutzim, again, to Hari Miyashev, the Mishnah on Pei Beis with the Mishnah on Pei, they're all similar in form to the terrace that the Gemara gave in Avodah Zarah, to the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, which is, when we said, don't have Yichud, when the Mishnah on Pei Beis said specifically in the case of Rochel, you shouldn't have Yichud, that was adding a Chumrah. Of course, you can never have Yichud, but here you have to be even more careful. Again, whether the kulat's being suspended is, like the Ramban said, Shnei Anashim, or the kulat's being suspended is Ishto Ima, like Tosis, or the kulat's being suspended is Rashi's Chiddush, that there is a kulat of Shalosh Nashim, but it's suspended by Rochel. But then, as you saw, the Rush points out, Rush quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Rambam says this, that entirely different. The Rambam says, and it's quoted, Rambam is quoted, Rashi's Teretz is quoted by the Ramah in Sifhei. The Rambam's Teretz is quoted verbatim by the, more or less, by the Shulchan Aruch, it's a design. And it's a single word that drives it. Afilu ish asako umalachto manashim asro lehisachei manashim. Even a man who works with women is still not allowed to have yichud. I mean, even. In other words, it turned the whole logic on its head. All the other Rishonim were assuming that a Rochel has to be more machmir because he's a sakiv manashim and he's more hamish with the women. So we're more concerned. Yichud is a greater concern for him. The Rambam is saying the opposite. I would have thought, but it's incorrect, that he could be more makel. Why? So maybe one could have said, well, you know, hetzer parnasa. Okay, that's rejected. We don't just say, well, I need to earn a living so I can ignore Yichud. Then the Rush quotes a Svara, which is being rejected. I could have thought, well, Bavidite Tarid. The fact that you're at work, sort of like a more clinical situation, so maybe that I could have thought, and again, incorrectly, I could have had a Havamina in a work situation, so things are more businesslike, and therefore Yichud is not going to apply. I could have thought, the Mishnah in Daf Pei says Yichud is Aser in a personal situation. If I'm at work, so then that's work. Kamash Malan, no. That's what Rabbeinu Chanan and the Rambam say. Even if it's work, it's still Aser. Afilu, Isha Sakam Anashim, still cannot have Yichud. And that's what the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. You have to figure out a solution. If you're in that line of work, and you're often alone with women in a work situation, you can't say, well, I'm at work, it's mutter. You're going to have to ishto imo, bal be'ir. You're going to have to work out some sort of bring other people in. You're going to have to, there are other etzes, and you're going to have to figure out some other etzes. Yeah, there is a Chubas Radvaz, the Dvar Halacha quotes, who actually disagrees somewhat with the Rambam. Radvaz was, I believe, a contemporary of Shulchan Aruch, more or less. I think he lived in the 1500s, maybe, or maybe lived back before Shulchan Aruch, in Egypt. One of the Gedolei Torah of Egypt at the time, obviously centuries after the Rambam. So he seems to disagree. One of the most prolific tshuva writers, I believe. Thousands of tshuvas wrote Vaz. So he has a tshuva, Dvar Halacha quotes, where he uses this as a sniff l'hakam. He says, you know, he's not willing to be makel just because it's at work, but, you know, we had the whole, there's a situation that he's dealing with, the case he's dealing with. So one of the tzadim l'hakam as well, and after all, Bavidite Tarid, which again is a svar that comes up elsewhere in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Bavidite Tarid, in other context, not entirely unrelated, but not quite the same, certainly. So the Radvaz is mechadish, and maybe bavidite tarid, the fact that you're at work, so your head is in business, maybe that could be at least one svar lahakal. That seems to fly in the face of the Rambam and Chananel. Again, Neinu Haro, so you follow the news, clearly people are chote at work as well. And one needs to be, practically speaking, very, very, very careful. Rabim Chalalim Hepilam. One does need to have strong gedarim for himself to make sure that that work remains an entirely productive situation and does not verge into a slippery slope of a lack of tznias, of violating yichud and chalila worse. So those are the approaches to asakan hanashim, Mishnah Pei Beis, and specifically Rashi's Teretz. Rashi, based on that Mishnah, was Mechadesh, that Shtei Nashim is Aser, but Shtei Nashim is Aser, but what? But Shalosh Nashim would generally be Mutter, unless we're dealing with a Rocha, unless we're dealing with Asaka and Hanashim. Now, what remains to be discussed in the world of Shtei Nashim, probably worthy of a Chabur on its own, and we'll take a question in a moment. And that is ishto imo. The Mishnah talks about, I can't have yichud unless his wife is there. Ishto imo sort of falls within the rubric of, in a sense, of shtei nashim. Reuven can't be alone with Rachel and Leah, but he can be alone with Mrs. Reuven and Leah. In a sense, ishto imo is an exception to the iser of shtei nashim. Again, Rashi held one exception to shtei nashim is shalosh nashim. And the Mishnah appears to say that ishto imo is also exception. And that, a couple of issues to talk about, ishto imo. Do we pass on like ishto imo? That's machlokas harishonim, machlokas tana, machlokas rishonim, perhaps, machlokas harishonim. And then ishto imo number two raises the question of, in general, which other women can serve as a shomeres. One's wife can serve, we said generally, that's the whole idea of shtei nashim, is an added woman doesn't serve as a shomeres. But one's wife does. How about other women? Are there other women who could serve as a shomeres? So that's sort of the second discussion within the rubric of ishto imo. The first discussion is, do we accept it all? Second discussion is, can we expand it to other shomeros? And then the third is, again, going back to Avodah Zarah, but yichud nachri, with a nachri, ishto imo does not apply, and there's some more to say about that and why that works and what Tosas there says. So those are sort of the three areas within ishto imo. I think this is probably certainly a good place to stop for questions, and this may be a good place to stop, and maybe we should figure out when we'll have our next chabura. Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Another you're saying it. So you see in the Rajba, it doesn't have to be Tali Zebazet. Again, you're going back to the Kula of Rashi about Shalosh Nashim. But you don't have to take Rashi's approach that the whole chumra of Shtei Nashim is based on Shtei Nochzes Patos in order to make on three. Yes, that's true. It doesn't have to be the case. That's a chap of I forget who the Bala footnotes is on the Ritvan Kiddushin. I think it's Eliyahu Lichtenstein, maybe. I can't remember for sure. It doesn't have to be Tali, but it definitely is more likely. Right. You could do one without the other, but definitely it aligns well. Yeah. Shalom. So you're asking in terms of OBGYN, right? OBGYN is likely to be considered asaka v'manashim. Clearly, his client base is all female. Again, so if someone's asaka v'manashim, Rambam says we don't say he's a avarian. Is tell him you have to be careful v'yichud. Make sure to be careful v'yichud. Now again, he's going to have to work out. So what does that mean practically for me? As I mentioned before, the Ramban's approach, that we consider him to be a parutz, because he's a rochel, so that's not quoted. It's quoted, I believe the Ritva quotes Ramban, but it's not quoted in the later Sefer Pesach at all. So I don't think that's Baba Cheshbon. But the other three shitas are all quoted in the Halacha. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. Again, for the Rambam, there's no added Chumrah. I would have thought he could be more Mekel Kamashmon. He's the same team as everyone else. It seems like a bit of a machlokas chelkas mechokek and taz chelkas mechokek and sivkan yudal, if I believe in the taz and sivkan vav, whether to assume like Rashi or Tosfos. Now again, if you say like Rashi, so then okay, so he can't be mekel and shalosh nashim. We're not sure anyone's been mekel and shalosh nashim. Again, we're not sure we pass like Rashi. According to Tosfos, so that means ishto imo. Ishto imo is not a solution. Ishto imo normally would be out there, but for the rochel, perhaps the OBGYN as well, ishto imo is not a solution. Okay, the other coolest apply. OBGYNs do have to figure out bechon. That's something we're not ready yet to talk about. Office scenarios, even outside of asaka v'anashim, we need to get to pesach pesuach first. The sigur pesach pesuach. Right now, we're in the world of shomer. Who is present? How many people are present? That's our one field of Hilchos Yichud. The question of situations is a separate, also critical, sort of a separate conversation built largely around the sigur of Pesach Pesuach and the discussion that poskim have. So even if he's not a sakav menashim, if you have some other specialist who has both male and female clients, but still, when you have a female client in the office, you're going to have to have a psychologist, or you have an internist, or whatever. When he has a female client, you know, a male, or vice versa. You have a female psychologist, a female internist who has a male client in the office. So what are you going to do? Leaving aside Asaka v'Nashim, you have to figure out how to avoid Yichud. So Asaka v'Nashim, so that's going to involve thinking about Baal Be'ir, which we haven't gotten to yet. That's going to involve Pesach Pesuach, which we haven't gotten to yet. But yeah, it probably is true that OBGYN would be considered a Asaka v'Nashim. It will have a minor impact. It won't necessarily have a major impact. Maybe a good way to close, unless there are more questions. More questions? Yeah, Judah. Mm-hmm. Drew, that's a good question. You had asked that last time also. Why is the Shulchan Aruch found the Rambam by Achoso, and again, by the definition of Prutzim, the Shulchan Aruch is found the Rambam, even though the Rif, it's against both the Rif and the Rash. Right? The Rif by Achoso wasn't 100% clear how he held. Here, the Rif, Luchar, is clear because he leaves out the story. He quotes, you know, Kshayim versus Prutzim, leaves out the story, so it seems like he paskins like the Rov Rishonim. Yeah, I'm not sure. If I remember correctly, there are not clues in the Beis Yosef either. What drove the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, what drove Yosef Kara to accept the Rush? If I remember correctly, he does not. He doesn't. I don't think he explains why he's ignoring the Rif. I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe let's wrap up for now. Just sort of putting things into perspective. Now that we raised the question from before about offices and sort of figuring things out. So just in terms of how we're learning and then how we're going to chazer, as we're learning right now, more or less sif al sif. I'll say there's Shulchan Aruch. I'll say there's Gemara. We went to Hay before Gimel just because, as you saw, it works better. But we're more or less going to Al-Seder. Once we've seen all the pieces, you remember I told you when we got started, Shechter's line of how Hilchos Yichud is the study of Kulos. And you start with the Isser, but then you see one kula, another kula. Each kula has exceptions. So we had the kula of Imo Bito, and now we have the kula of Shnei Anashim, with the exception of Prutzim, and the partial exception of Adarach. The kula, the kula of Ishto Imo, which we're up to talking about, with the exception of Nachri, and so on and so forth. So we're going now a la Seder, so each mini sugya independently. Once we get to the end, hopefully we're going to be able to chazer in a way that will sort of reorganize things instead of al Seder, Gemar, Shulchan Aruch, sort of reorganize things conceptually in a way that once we've seen all the pieces, we'll be able to step back and see the whole forest and see all the pieces hang together in a coherent way. Once we get to that point, once we get to Chazara, we'll be able to zoom out on the whole simon as one. I assume it makes sense to hold off on Ishto Imo. So Mirtz Hashem next time.